And trust now that you receive yet another blessing as we look into God's Word. You know, they just were singing, "I'm so glad I'm a part. Oh, I'm a blood-bought member of the blood-bought throng." And it's the only way, if you've been washed in that blood, that you're going to get that meeting in the air that they were singing about. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Numbers chapter 21. It's a well-known story, probably preached in the gospel more than any other scripture in the whole Bible. Numbers 21. We look at the brazen serpent. Numbers 21. Verse 5. "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." One verse or two verses in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Well-known verses again. Verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I'm sure the Lord will bless our hearts, the reading of his most holy, precious word. The Lord has been talking to Nicodemus and trying to show him the way of salvation, and he seems not to understand. And the Lord takes him back to this familiar Old Testament story, which we can look at tonight. And he said to Nicodemus, simply, "Nicodemus, you know the story in the Old Testament where the serpent lifted up. The people looked and they lived. Nicodemus, I'm going to be lifted up on a cross. And whosoever looks will live." Folks, the message has not changed over 2,000 years. Whosoever looks by faith and acknowledges that Jesus Christ is on that cross for them and repents will still live and live eternally. You see, the serpent's bite brought Israel to a sense of their sin. And many times I think God speaks to individuals that way, bring some tragedy into their life. And many times people repent, but still so many times people ignore it and continue on in their sin. These people listened and they said to Moses, "We have sinned." The moment Israel could say that they had sinned, there was no further entrance for God to come in and save them. And friends, tonight, the moment you will acknowledge to God that you have sinned and ask for his forgiveness, there's no further entrance with God. He will save you. It's still the same way. We have sinned. You see, the whole of the human family has felt the serpent's deadly bite. The whole world. But the God of grace has found a remedy in the one who was lifted up on that cross, his son Jesus Christ. And if you look, you will have life tonight. Tonight we're going to just have four simple points in the message tonight. We want to look at the people's sin, then the punishment for their sin, then their repentance, and then the way of salvation. First, the people's sin. The people spake against God and Moses, against God. Folks, let me say tonight, all sin is against God. Whatever it might be, it's against God. I remember when I first started to preach the gospel, probably almost 10 years ago, a young man came to me one night just before I was about to speak down at Current and said, "Freddie, what really is sin? Could you tell me what sin is?" And I said, "Yes, sin is disobedience to God." Listen at what 1 John says, 3 and 4. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." In other words, whosoever sins breaks God's law. Sin, folks, is lawlessness. Sin is wanting one's own way. Just look around us today. We don't have to turn on the television to see it. Look right in our community, right in your own home. People wanting their own way. That's sin. It's placing one's own will above God's will. It is rejection of divine authority and therefore rejection against God himself. But sin is also unrighteousness before God. Listen at what 1 John 5:17 says. All unrighteousness is sin. Whether it be thought, whether it be word, or whether it be deed. Because the thought of foolishness is sin. But sin is unbelief in God. And listen at what Romans 14:23 says. Whatsoever is not of faith, it's sin. Sin is also a wrong attitude toward God. Isn't that a picture of us all? And you just need to turn to Romans 3, 10 through 19. And you will see that sin is a wrong attitude toward God. Listen what it says, none righteous. No, not one. None doeth good. Their mouth is full of cursing. Their feet is swift to shed blood. And on, and it says, there is no fear of God in their eyes. And that's where it all originates from. We look around our community and the world, and it seems to be no fear of God in people's eyes anymore. There will come a day when it will be, when you stand before that great judge and he opens up the book and you will not open your mouth. You become guilty before him. They not only sinned against God, but they sinned against Moses. God's servant says, "Why have you brought us up to die in the wilderness, Moses?" And Moses intercedes for them. After all that they said about him, it reminds us the type of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? When after they put him on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." And folks, you might be here tonight, and you might criticize God's people or God's servant, but let me tell you, there's in that room praying for you tonight. They sinned against Moses. But sin against God's provision, the manna, says they hated it, they despised it. Folks, let me say today, tonight, manna is a type of Christ, and they despised him. People still despise him today. They despised him while he was here on this world. They call him the Prince of Devils. Isaiah the prophet said they would do that. That he would be despised and rejected of men. And they did scorn him. They did despise him. How about you tonight? You'll say, no, Freddie, I don't despise him. Listen at what Hebrews 10:28-29 says. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. And this next verse is solemn. How much more sore a punishment for those who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and consider his blood unholy and insult the Spirit of grace. How much sore a punishment for you if you trample under the blood of Christ. Some despise him, but some reject him. And that's the damning sin. That's the sin that will send you to hell if you go out of this life rejecting Christ. How sad. Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They said, crucify him. Crucify him. Friends, they had to make a decision. Neutral tonight, you cannot be. You must make a decision tonight. When you go out of these doors tonight, you will either receive him or reject him. You'll make a decision tonight. Neutral you cannot be. Someday, the hymn writer says, your soul may be asking, what will he do with me? Friends, if you go out rejecting him, he will send you to a Christless hell forever in torment. That doesn't need to be. You could look tonight and live. Some despise him. Some reject him. But some neglect him. And if you're here tonight, and if you sat under the gospel before, and you have not received Christ, friends, you're neglecting him. Remember Felix said, when I have a more convenient season, Paul, I'll call on you. Felix trembled. Felix was disturbed. But Felix did not respond. I believe it's people been in this gospel chapel who have trembled, who have been disturbed about where they could spend eternity, and yet have never responded. How sad to go out into eternity that way. Behold, now is the accepted time. Folks, behold, now, tonight, is the day of salvation. King Agrippa neglected it. King Agrippa said, Paul, almost Paul, you persuaded me to be a Christian. I believe King Agrippa's in hell tonight. Almost, but lost. I remember I was in Rocktown giving out Bibles, and I knocked on the door, and a woman came to the door, asked if she was a Christian. She said no. Says, but I'm almost. I say, ma'am, I know one in the Bible, almost, King Agrippa. But I never read where he ever trusted Christ. I say he's probably in the burning of hell tonight, today. I said, ma'am, I'm standing outside your door. I could make one step and be inside. I said, you could make that step of faith right now and be inside. She says, I want to step inside right now. How about you tonight? You don't want to go out into eternity and remember this meeting, remember other meetings, and be almost, you was almost there, and be lost forever and forever. Some despise him, some reject him, some neglect him, but praise God, some accept him. Many in here tonight have done it. How about you tonight? Will you say tonight, Freddie, I'm going to accept him tonight? Praise God. I hope you do it before the meeting comes to a close. I hope you do it. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You remember the Philippian jailer? Sprang out with a light and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Friends, the message is not changed. It's the same tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. You might say, "Freddie, I really don't know. What does it really mean to believe?" Friends, I believe tonight, and you realize that you are lost and helpless and hopeless and hellbound. I think when you realize that tonight, I think you'll know exactly what it means to believe, because there's nothing else you can do but believe. Look at the punishment, verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people, and much people died. What a sad case. Folks, sin bites. Sin stings. Sin brings forth death. You can't play with sin and get away with it. God must punish sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. Folks, listen, God is merciful. God is forgiving, and he tells us that. But he is also holy and righteous and a God of judgment to those who don't repent. Look at their condition. Snake bitten. Friends, if you're here without Christ tonight, yours is sin bitten. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The sad result, many died. What a sad result. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But after death, judgment. If when we died and that was the end, that would be bad enough. But folks, it just begins after death, the judgment. Revelation 20:13. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Listen, and they were judged. Every man, according to his works. Folks, no one escapes the judgment of God. Everyone will stand before that great judge. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Is your name there? Then, folks, that will be your portion. Eternal fire. Look at their repentance in verse 7. Their change of mind is seen in their change of attitude. We have sinned. Folks, that's what God's listening for tonight. He that covereth his sin, the scripture says, shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth his sin and forsaketh them shall find mercy. I remember a young man saying to me some time ago, Freddie, I confess my sin every night. Yeah, I drink, I do drugs, but I confess and ask the Lord to forgive me every night. And I said to that young man, the scripture says, he that confesseth and forsaketh, he shall find mercy. You must be willing to forsake your sin. You know, God and sinner cover sin. God covers it with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Let me rephrase that. God removes it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And man covers it with his filthy, dirty grass. Achan was the one that confessed his sin. He says, I have sinned once he was caught. Achan should have known that his sin would find him out, but Achan waits until it's too late and he dies. You remember that prodigal son? He says, I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned. That's it. That's it. Friend, look where sin took the prodigal. From a possessor to a prodigal, to a pauper, to the pig pen. Sin will take you further than you want to go. You've heard me say it before, longer than you want to stay. And anyone here tonight who's ever been an alcohol will say, yes, longer than I wanted to stay, further than I wanted to go. With drugs, I didn't want to stay that long, Freddie, but I'm stuck. And more than you want to pay for it, it's taking your life. That sin, that's where he took the prodigal, even to the pig pen. But thank God, it did not stop there. It took him to a penitent sinner, and then a pardoned sinner. Friend, if you will acknowledge like that prodigal tonight, I have sinned, God will pardon you and forgive you your sin. That's what he's listening for tonight. And then the prodigal received, experienced reception, reconciliation, and rejoicing. That could be yours tonight if you will come and acknowledge to God that you have sinned and received the Savior. Listen at their cry. Take away the serpent, the thing that was causing death. Job says, if any man says, I have sinned, he will deliver his soul from the pit. And if you tonight would ask God to forgive you, he will save you. He will take your soul from the pit and place you in a higher ground. Listen at the words of that publican as he was praying. He's standing afar off and he wouldn't just so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Folks, that's all you need tonight. God, have mercy on me and save me. And he'll save you tonight. For time and for eternity. You see, he stood at a distance. He realized his unworthiness. He repents. This publican humbles himself for all he had done. He would not even lift up his eyes, but thank God he lifted up his heart and smote on it, the place where sin originated. He says, God, have mercy on me. And God did. God did. Says that man went down to his house justified. And folks, tonight, if you will confess and ask God to have mercy on you, you'll go down to your house tonight justified. The Pharisee didn't. He didn't repent. And he went down rejected. And you'll be like that Pharisee tonight and go out there tonight and not repent and not be justified and be rejected of God tonight. Oh, friend, I plead with you not to do that tonight. Have mercy on me. No one else. Me. Not my brother in the seat. Not my wife. Not my sister. Not my brother. Me. Have mercy on me. The way of salvation, make a fiery serpent. Put it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. God revealed to Moses the way of salvation. Serpent on the pole, whosoever looks will live. God has revealed the way of salvation to me and you tonight through his Son, Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times spake unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God revealed his person and mind in the Old Testament through the prophets, but now through his Son, the last messenger that this world will ever know. It's through Jesus Christ is the only way tonight. Paul says, through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. What he did at Calvary and his resurrection, you can have forgiveness tonight. As we bring the message to a close, the way of salvation, folks, is simple. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. Let me just look at that verse for a minute before we close. Look. Folks, that's the easiest possible thing you could do, is look. It doesn't take any effort to look. Tonight you could look and live. Secondly, says, unto me, the greatest possible person. Let me rephrase that. The only possible person you could look to tonight and have salvation is Jesus Christ. Look unto me. And then it says, be ye saved. Folks, that's the greatest possible blessing. No other blessing could be so great. Saved from what? Saved from hell and all its torment forever. The greatest possible blessing. All ye ends of the earth, the greatest possible number. That includes you here tonight. For I am God. The greatest possible authority. Only God could say that. And he says, if you look, you'll live. Will you look tonight? Friends, you must believe him. You must come to him. You must receive him. The way of salvation is a fact. Whosoever looks will live. I close with this story, and I might have used it before, but it goes to what I had to say tonight. The Royal Charter had been around the world. Magnificent ship she was. Stopped in every important port around the world. She's on her way back home. She's to Queenstown. She sent the message that she'll be arriving at Liverpool the next morning. One of the members of Dr. Taylor's church said he stayed up all night to see that boat come in next morning. The Lord Mayor of London was there. The Lord Mayor of Liverpool was there. Young people were there. Thousands of people were there. Bands were there playing music. But that night, the Royal Charter went down. And almost every person was lost. The first mate of that boat's wife was a member of Dr. Taylor's church. Dr. Taylor was asked to go and tell his wife that her husband got lost at sea. Dr. Taylor says as he went up to that house, he'll never forget it. He felt like an executioner. He tapped on the door, and a pretty little girl ran out. I said, "Oh, Mr. Taylor, I thought it was Papa. He's coming home today." I was silent for a moment. I walked in. Her mother met me, says, and said, "Oh, Dr. Taylor, you know, my husband's coming home today. If you'll stay and have blood for this, it'll be almost like heaven." Dr. Taylor says, I held both of her hands. And I was silent for a moment. I couldn't speak. Then I said, "My dear woman, your husband will never come home again. He was lost at sea last night." Says she held my hand for a moment and then pulled it away and she cried out, "Oh my God, almost home, but lost." Dr. Taylor says, I've known people closer than that. One step to cross over the line and won't cross it. One word to speak for eternal life and wouldn't say it. Folks, how about you tonight? Almost home. You're almost there. Will you take that step tonight? Or will you walk out here and say, "I'll take my chance"? I pray you'll be wise tonight and trust the Savior. Let us pray. Folks, in the quietness of these moments, I know Satan is busy. And I know the Holy Spirit is busy as well, striving with your heart. Folks, you might not never have another opportunity to receive a Savior. And I don't make appeals often, you know that. But I feel tonight that someone might be almost there, and might go out of here tonight and never have an opportunity. Folks, right here now, is it someone tonight said, "No, Freddie, I don't want to be almost. I want to be altogether tonight. I want the Lord Jesus as my Savior tonight"? Would you raise your hand that we could see it and pray with you and then maybe counsel you afterwards? That will never save you. I don't believe in prolonging this part of the meeting. This is the Holy Spirit's work. But is there one that we could help? We'd like to pray with you before we go to prayer. Father, again, we realize it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your Spirit. Spirit of God, we pray for that one who is nearest hell tonight, who might be the last opportunity they'll have tonight. We pray, Lord, that they will not leave the chapel or the grounds until they know their sins have been forgiven and Jesus Christ is their Savior. Father, we pray you'll continue to work. As we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to ask the musicians to come up. I want to sing just two verses of 251. 251. Almost persuaded. Now to believe. Almost persuaded. Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, "Go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day." On the alcohol friends, if you're saying that tonight, you're telling the Spirit to go his way and he'll take another convenient day. Folks, there's never going to be a more convenient time than right now. Right now, tonight. Let me read that last verse. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that did away. Almost, but lost. Oh, friend, don't let that be your case tonight. Why not receive the Savior? First and last verses, and the meeting will be over.